Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jocelyn, how's it going?
Looks like the crossed fingers worked. We have audio, we have video, we have Swick. Swick, how are you?
What? Jocelyn, I am rolling.
Excellent. I don't actually know what that means.
Why are you rolling? Are we rolling out? We just started. Come on, guys.
I just messed. I just messed up because I used a European slang term in a Canadian group.
Well,
you know what? Got
British slang. You know, we're okay with Brit slang, but not European. No, none of that.
Isn't British in the European?
Well, I guess kind of technically, but
are they their own thing? Well, then wait, is Roland like a European, just not British thing? Like, is it French? I don't know. Denmarkian?
You know what? Let's just say it's from the movie Tombstone and move on.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Never seen it.
I don't know what you're talking about. We don't get good action movies up here.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's kind of like the epitome of an American Western. But, dude. The reason why Val Kilmer is awesome. All right. Never mind.
Wrong podcast. We are the Gamers Inn. We are on episode 99. We are talking the video games. And the one big thing that happened this week was the drop of the PS4. So, of three of us, there is one of us who actually has one in his hands. Mr. Ryan Murphy, who took the day off work today to play with the PlayStation 4. Worth it.
Yes, it was, of course.
Say, of course, the Wii U was a piece of crap and a waste of a day, so.
I don't know about that.
She's kind
of
right.
It's all a matter of perspective. I mean, you could, anybody could sit down and be like, I took the day off to enjoy this sweet apple I bought from the grocery store. It's like, well, that's great. I mean, what, you just parsed it out through the course of the day? As long as you had fun, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, the Wii U, compared to what the PS4 has offered, it's not the same. I went to EB last night at like 11:30 to pick up my PS4, and I hate launch lineups. I despise them. Like, I was so nervous. Like, I live like 2 minutes down from EB,
Hold up. You despise launch lineups?
I don't like lines.
Lineups on launch day, not launch lineups of games.
Okay. Well, the launch lineup is not that great either. I mean, people scoffed at the Wii U like, a Mario game and Zombie U. But I would put those games above what is available on the PS4. Killzone and Knack just are getting torn apart.
Watch Dogs isn't a launch title anymore, right?
If Watch Dogs was a launch title, I think that would have made this and that actually, you know, ties in with Paul. I mean, you canceled your pre-order because you wanted Watch Dogs, right?
Should we get into this?
I think we should get into
it. Yeah, might as well. I threw it to you maybe a little
earlier. No, that is incorrect. I did not cancel my PS4 pre-order because of Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs just kind of was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back in terms of, like, it kind of deflated me. You know? Like, okay. I promise you, I vow to you both, Ryan and Jocelyn, that I am going to get a PS4 and I'm going to get an Xbox One. This is going to happen. I just know. I looked at all the games, and I'm just like, I don't need any of them. That's all there was to it. I just didn't. I looked at it, and I'm like, I can do without another Killzone. I can do without Knack. I could do without, and I'm not saying they're crappy games. I'm just not. They just seem they're just kind of no, and they're kind of, you know, they might look prettier, which is great. They're just kind of like, I need something better. I'm kind of spoiled. Is that wrong?
No, not at all. So what are you spoiled by? Is it your PC that's spoiling you?
The PC is helping for sure. I think a lot of I think the indie scene is amazing right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm too picky. Maybe that's it.
You're not wrong.
I was also looking, and not to change the subject too much, but I was looking at the 3DS numbers, like in terms of, okay, if I got a 3DS today, which games would I want to play? And with the new Zelda coming up and that really, really fancy 3DS that comes with it,
which I pre-ordered and should be on my doorstep next Friday.
No, I have that pre-ordered too. And it's,
don't cancel it. Just,
I'm tempted.
What?
I don't know why. I know.
It's like you hate fun.
I don't hate fun.
It's like, yeah.
I don't. I don't hate fun. It's that I want it to be worth the time. I want it to be worth the investment. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And right now, it's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
And I think I need to like express this in like an article on Final Score or something, because it's like I feel like this might be the case of a few different people. Yeah. You know, too.
Well, I mean, maybe. I feel like because I didn't pre-order anything. I have no intentions of getting a next-gen console right now. I feel like eventually I will pick one or the other. It will probably be the PlayStation. What I'm actually looking more forward to is a chance to finally get my hands on a PS3, because there's going to be some really awesome bundles coming out around the holidays this year. I mean, we saw some of them that were leaked in the GameStop Black Friday flyer that came out. So, I mean, I think I'm going to finally get a chance to get a PS3. There's some titles on the PS3 that I know I really like, that I really want to play. Little Big Planet is one. Uncharted series is another. I am an absolute sucker for Fat Princess. It's got to be one of my favorite, like, little fun, almost like throwaway games ever. It's got this great sense of humor, and I can sink hours into it. But without owning a PS3, then, you know, it's just... I can't get my hands on it anymore. So I think, you know, for a couple $100, which is what these bundles are priced at, you know, for $200, you get a 500 gig PlayStation with a copy of Uncharted 2 or whatever, you know, like those are really, really good deals. And there's nothing wrong with the PlayStation 3.
That's pretty sweet.
Paul. I was just saying, like, with the PS3, I had convinced somebody at work to buy a PS3. It's way too hard to convince someone to buy a PS4. Mm-hmm. It's not about the games. The games are nice, and like Paul said, the best thing going for them. And this is why I think the Wii U sort of faltered in the eyes of many gamers, because it didn't have that newness. It didn't have the one thing that's going for every new console, and it's that it's pretty, and it's something that you can't get on other systems. Like,
right.
If you look at Killzone or even Knack and then compare that to current PC games out there, there aren't a lot that look that nice.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, don't get me wrong, and there are some that look really nice, but they're just, you know, they're either too advanced that you'd have to, like what's a game? Like a really good-looking PC game that sort of is, like, miles above other one, like Battlefield, and I mean that's on the next gen systems as well, but I think that's the one thing going for the PS4 and the Xbox One for that matter, is that, you know, when you boot it up, the games you throw in it are at least going to look nice, and there's that that newness that just kind of like makes you want to go out and get it. But really, there's no reason to buy any of these systems at launch whatsoever.
Right,
there's no reason. I mean, maybe with the Wii you kind of had that, like Twilight Princess on the Wii, I suppose that's probably a good reason. But even with the Wii U, like a new Mario game, it was new Super Mario Brothers. There was no reason to go out and pick that up, because if you did own a 3DS, you sure as hell bought new Super Mario Brothers 2. So you'd already played that game like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, so... And Paul, like, you probably watched the PS4 All Access that happened last night and realized that they announced a Infamous Second Son... PS4 bundle. So right there, it's basically them saying, like, you know, this is the game everybody's waiting for. It's probably going to be the first game, similar to with the Wii U. Like, it was Pikmin 3. It didn't release 2 months after launch like Infamous is going to, but, you know, Sony's smart. They're saying this is the game people want this system for. They have to wait a couple months, but the people who didn't buy a PS4 are obviously going to go out. And who want one, for that matter, are going to go out and buy this bundle. I'm not saying everybody that didn't buy one is now, like, suddenly convinced, you know?
No, but there are some people that were planning on waiting anyway. And those people who are planning on waiting anyway and who were going to pick up the PlayStation when Infamous came out, then, you know, that's putting a bundle would change minds and be like, oh, if I can get... Because I found there were quite a few of PlayStation 3 bundles that have come out over the years that I've been like, oh man, if only I could get my hands on that, and they're all sold out. Like, they, when PlayStation does a bundle, they are not available for long, you know, they go really fast. They pick really good games to put in their bundles, which is one thing that always I found versus the Xbox. You know, the Xbox bundles were shit. Like, PlayStation bundles always made me look at it, and they either had a controller or, you know, game, like something about it that really made me go, oh man, I wish I had the $350 on me right now and I just don't have it to spare. Whereas I never felt that way with Xbox. When I picked up my Xbox, I was just like, well, I've got a little bit of spare cash right now. I don't have enough for a PlayStation. I want to play with my friends who right now are all playing on Xbox. So I'm going to spend, you know, I got, I think, the arcade version or whatever. I had to buy a separate hard drive later on. So, you know, like all I wanted was just to get on the system where my friends are playing and play Fable, which was Xbox exclusive. So,
yeah, I think the difference, I can explain why that just happened in a bit, but I think the different, I'm hitting puberty just in case somebody was wondering, spoiler alert. I think the difference with Microsoft and Sony when it comes to these bundles is that Sony was all about, you know, give us a little extra cash and we'll throw in this new great game with the system. I mean, they partner games with systems as if they are system sellers. Like Uncharted, system seller. Infamous, it's going to be a system seller. Microsoft is a little different. They go after the collectors and say, hey, we know you're a Star Wars nut. Let's make an R2-D2 Xbox. And when you hit the power button, it goes, you know, like,
yeah,
like it's excited to see you or something. Yeah, but I think that's the big difference there. So with Microsoft, they did have a couple bundles where you could get like Halo Reach and a couple others. But I think those were always like download codes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm... That's the other thing, too, is that as you'll notice with these next-gen systems, and even with the 3DS, it's all going digital, like, downloads and stuff, you know? Like, you guys
both pre-ordered. I was a little bit disappointed with my pre-order of the 3DS because it is a download code for Zelda. And, I mean,
yeah,
I put my, like, discs and stuff. They're in a drawer. I don't look at them. I don't display them anywhere. Like, I never use the boxes again, but just having the box makes me feel so happy. There's something to be said about opening the box, and they don't even have manuals in them anymore, but it's just that having it, you know, like, I don't want a download code.
Well, you're going to find that with most, all games you buy from here on out, like, the Killzone box that I have in the other room is literally a sheet for like 7 days of PlayStation Plus, and then the manual like is just the controller layout, and that is the inside of the cover for the game. Mm-hmm. So you don't even get like a little leaflet. It's like part of the page that is the cover art, basically.
Yeah,
it's the reversal. Yeah. So with the 3DS, I've gone towards, you know, downloading the games, buying them on the eShop. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm right there with you, Jocelyn. I love having the case, but a month later, it's just clutter, and I put it in, like, a drawer. Like, I have a drawer with, like, 12 3DS cases.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, with the download, they're smaller downloads, so you can have, like, one giant SD card and have them all on there.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find with the next-gen systems, with a 500 gig hard drive, that thing's going to fill up really quick.
Really fast, so, yeah.
I'm probably more inclined to buy, and I'm experiencing this with the Wii U, like 32 gigabytes is what it launched with, and I have to go out and buy.
That's because it's not next gen. It's them catching up to current gen.
Okay, well, we're not going to have that conversation right now. I'd have to go out,
She's
and buy
it. She's right.
No.
I'm just saying. You don't have a lot of argument to say that it's not.
Well,
right?
What's the definition of next gen? It's the next generation of the console. The Wii U is the next generation of the Wii. And we're not going to have this conversation.
It's not of the console. It's of the console space. Mm. So you have your next gen console space where everything is 1080. It's fast. It's got 8 gigs of RAM and 500 gigs of space and all the rest of it. And everything that the Wii U is doing is lining up with everything that the last generation of consoles did. So, we're not going to have this conversation again.
Yeah, but it's like semantics, I guess. You're right, I'm right, but I think you're probably a little more righter when you think about it. Like in the general gamer's
more writer
term. Yeah, just a little more writer.
Wow.
But anyways, let's bring this back to the PS4.
Yeah, the PS4. Okay, so I went to the midnight launch. There was like 30 of us there. It was so console launches have changed so much in the sense, like, you know, remember it was exciting, there's lots of people, and everyone's sort of like antsy in line. Like, I was there, and it was super quiet, people were just there to grab their system. The employees, God bless their souls, they were doing really well, they were doing a great job of just getting everybody in there out of the cold. We waited in the store for like 10 minutes. And they're like, come on, everybody, get excited. Four more minutes. And I'm just like, everyone's just so
just
quiet.
Give me my freaking box.
So I got...
I know you have them. You
have them, sir. Well, they kept bringing them out so you could see them, right? And people were just genuinely excited to grab their systems. And I got home around 1. And obviously, everybody was trying to boot it up. So PSN kept going down. I ended up getting like 3 hours of sleep last night. I went to bed at 4 after... I didn't play any games. I just, like, had it running and
that
kept...
That seems to happen to you every time, whether it's, you know, downloading Diablo or, you know, whatever it is that you're installing, or if it's, you know, an actual console launch. The same thing happened to you with the Wii U. It's just like, downloading updates, patching. You know, like, 4 hours later, I guess I should sleep.
Well, yeah, I was kind of like, what is going on out there? It's like a monster at my door.
We're gonna get it on camera.
Yeah, great. So Outlast all over.
Gamers in ever.
Watch Ryan be devoured.
Paranormal Activity 5.
PSN wasn't working, so I guess it didn't help that I was also playing like the new XCOM game and like kept switching the TV input back to the computer. And so by the time 4 o'clock rolled around, it's like, you know what? I'm not even gonna bother booting up a game. Because I'm just going to go to bed. And today I played it like all day. I downloaded all of the... the great thing about the PS4 is that it launches with a bunch of free-to-play titles. Nothing new. I mean, it's Warframe, Blacklight, and DCOU. Those are the three games that I downloaded that were free-to-play. Those are all on PC. They were all on... Well, they're all on PC. And
no free Fat Princess? Ugh.
Well, no, it's not on PS4. It's.
I know, I'm teasing.
There is a cross-play, though. Like, if you buy a couple games that were on PS3, like Flower and Flow, if you own those on your PS3, then you automatically have PS4 versions. So there's a couple of those examples. I did pick up Killzone. The reviews for these launch titles, the first-party launch titles, aren't great. But really, that's to be expected. And the 2 hours.
I was
going to
say, is anyone really surprised?
No, and I at first I was kind of like looking at what Xbox One is launching with. It'll be interesting to see what the reviews are like, because I feel like those games, except for Rise, are probably going to review pretty favorably.
Yeah,
you know, because Dead Rising 2 is a third party exclusive. Three hours of sleep. Dead Rising 3 looks really good, I think. And I think it's probably going to get really well reviewed. And Forza, I mean, it's a racing game and people like Forza. So it'll be interesting to see what those reviews get. But when you look at Killzone and Knack, it just suffers from launchitis. You know, it's like they're just get a game out there. They're very shallow. Killzone looks great. But it is another... I was kind of like, I don't know if I want another first-person shooter. I mean, the launch titles for the PS4, like, it's 50% first-person shooters. And I'm kind of done with first-person shooters. Yeah. I've played so many of them, and I'm feeling that with Killzone. It's just, it's kind of like...
I don't think it's first-person shooters. I think it's what they do with them.
Mm.
It's not about the... It's not about the, you know, the perspective.
No.
Some people are into that or not. It's about what you do with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what you're talking about is it sounds like you're suffering from, like, what I think a lot of people are suffering from, and that they just are getting kind of sick of the war.
Yes. You're right. It was unfair of me to throw Borderlands 2 under the bus, which we are going to be playing after this. And I love Borderlands 2, and it's a 2-year-old game, and I will totally go back to it. And if they had a PS4 version, I'd probably look at it. It's like, oh, that looks nice. But I think, you know, the great thing about Killzone is it just looks great. It demos the PS4 very well, whereas a lot of the other games that you get, like the free-to-play stuff, are just their PC versions, so they're not like...
Optimized?
You know, well, they're optimized, but they're not like, this is the PS4 version and it looks amazing. You can tell, like, oh, this is probably what it would look like on PC. Now you are given PlayStation Plus at launch, and you get two free games. Those two free games, there was like Contrast, which is also on PC. Yeah.
I think I played a bit of that at E3.
It's not that great. It's all right, but it's not anything to write home about. But Resogun, the other free one, is fantastic. It's like this side-scrolling, circular shoot 'em up. It's really hard to explain, but it just looks really great. And that being free with every PS4 is really awesome, because it's kind of like a get in there and play. It's not something you're going to play for 2 months while you're waiting for Infamous, but it's still really, really nice.
So I know with the launch of the Wii U, I mean, not that you regretted it, but at the same time, you didn't have a whole lot to play on your Wii U for a long time. So, I mean, with the PlayStation 4, are you feeling like the same sort of thing? Like, you got it on launch and you're excited for it and you're going to play it for 2 days and then you're going to go back to work on Monday and go, well, shit, I could have used that $100 on something else, you know?
You're not going to have that issue with the PS4. You may find you're going to be playing games that you could have played on the PC, you know, and the only reason you're playing them is so you have something to play on the PS4. I mean, I did that with the Wii U, where I'd go, I was like, well, I guess I'll play Ninja Gaiden 3 and hate it, but it's still a game I can play on my Wii U. You know, I guess I'll buy Assassin's Creed on the Wii U because I'm an idiot. You know, those things, that is the legitimate conversation I had with myself. But with the PS4, it's like, there's just so many options there. I don't think there's a lot coming out between now and Infamous. But with all those, like, indie titles and free-to-play titles, you know, if you do get sick and tired of Killzone, you can go, oh, I'm going to try DCO, you know, sorry, DC Online. DC Universe Online, right? I don't know. But anyway, I wouldn't play it on PC, but because, like, you know, it's a free download on the PS4, and I kind of want to play my PS4, and it's a really neat option, and it's still, again, back to that, well, I guess I should play stuff on my brand new console just so I can experience, you know, my new system, but...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like an excuse.
But you're still in the mindset of, I'm experiencing my new console, as opposed to, I am justifying my purchase, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I can justify my purchase because, like, I'm having a blast with... I love new tech. I love just tinkering and getting in there and enjoying my new systems. Like, I don't regret... I never regretted the Wii U, and I don't regret the PS4 yet. but, you know, I doubt I will. That's just the type of person I am. I'm sure a lot of people out there is like, oh, you bought Killzone, and that's it. It's like, I'm thinking I'm going to pick up Black Flag at some point. Yeah. Because I rented it on the Xbox to give it a shot, and it is a very good Assassin's Creed game. And I'm going to let it, you know, my experience sort of like, you know, put some time between purchasing it and when I actually played like 10 hours of it. Probably pick it up on Boxing Day. But yeah, I mean, there's...
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the day after Christmas for all you American... Yes. Thank you, listeners. But it's a great Swift, system.
Yeah.
I know you canceled your pre-order. Are you regretting that at all? Are you thinking you might try to get an Xbox One on day one? Or are you just like, no. Next gen can wait?
I feel like a bit of a party pooper. No, I'm not gonna get Xbox day one. The only exception that I might regret is... Ryan's right. At least for me, I have always enjoyed the Dead Rising series, and I'm going to be sad that I'm not going to be able to play that right away. But well, again, it's like, you know, I don't know that I would pay $500 just for Dead Rising right now.
Well, that's what I always struggle with, and I struggled with it through the entire console cycle with the PS3, is, you know, now they have a library of games that I would really like to play, and I'd like to go spend the couple of $100 to pick up the system to play them on. But every single time something new for the PlayStation comes out, I'm always like, oh man, I really want to play that game, but I don't want to pay $400 or $300 to play a game, because realistically, which is something I'm running into, like I mentioned off the top of the show that I pre-ordered the 3DS, there are four or five solid titles that I want to play right away on the 3DS, right. but I just dropped like $250 on the console because it's the limited edition Zelda one. It comes preloaded with the new Zelda game, so it was $229 plus tax, which is like 15% in Nova Scotia. So, you know, it's $250 by the time all is said and done.
Communists.
Yeah.
So with it being $250, I don't have any money left over to buy any other title. So essentially, I've paid $250 to play the new Zelda, which is kind of ridiculous.
Well, yeah. That, I mean, if that's... There's always a way to look at things.
I love Ryan's points when he's just like, well, that's, you know...
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, I'm tired. It's been a long day.
Whatever, man.
I think when if that's the way you're going to look at it, then that kind of gimps your experience. Like, it's like, well, you know, you said it about the PS3. Like, there's tons of games on the PS3. And I know there are going to be tons of games down the road for the PS4. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I said this about the Wii U, like, well, the Wii U is a little different in the sense that they had a price cut before a lot of great games came out. So probably waiting for a Wii U was a smart choice for those who haven't picked one up yet. But
I'm pretty sure anybody who waited on the Wii U is more than secure in their waiting for the Wii U.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with the PS4, like, in my mind, you're not going to see a price cut on it. And you know there's going to be a lot of great games coming out. And if I save my money for it, you know, it's not like I was like, it's like, just put it on the credit card. I'll worry about it later. I need my new system.
That's totally what I did with the 3DS.
Well, you know, it's like...
future Jocelyn will have to worry about
exactly.
This one.
Yep.
And I said, future Ryan doesn't have to worry about the PS4, because I know there are going to be a lot of great titles coming out between now and when they do eventually have a price cut.
And that's fine, but what you're talking about, kind of, is that you're getting into the zeitgeist of the just having a new system. And that's really where... the regret comes in.
But is there like anything wrong with that, really? As long as it pans out, right?
Well, I suppose. But, yeah. You know, gamers are... You know, I think a lot of gamers are like this. They're like, oh, I want... You know, I there's not much to play, but... Oh.
But I'm not going to have that feeling about the Xbox
it's
One.
It's new. We haven't had a new console in a long time. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use it right away, but I like it.
That's true. No, that is a valid criticism on what I did. Like, I knew that come launch day, I'm going to want one of these, mainly because they're new and I want to experience next gen. But you're right. Like, it's like, you probably could have waited. But,
You know what? Fine. It's just one of those things, man.
Everybody's different. But the killer... Before we move on, I want to say the killer feature of the PS4, and I don't know how the Xbox One is going to work, but I played around with this, is the Twitch streaming on the PS4. You know, we had some XSplit issues before this. You know, happens often. XSplit is kind of this really buggy piece of software, and that's because it's doing something very complex. And the PS4 streaming is
I think you're giving it a little too much credit.
I
don't know that it's very complex. Okay. Not now. But anyway, whatever.
Just like, the PS4 streaming is, you hit a button, you log into Twitch, there is overlay options, so you can literally just broadcast your screen, or you can broadcast your screen, a little webcam, you know, it has an on-air light, and you know, it'll actually have chat scroll up for people, so when they're watching full screen, they can still see that chat. But the reason they do that is because it's not just a broadcast to Twitch. I can go into this app called PlayStation Live, and I can look at every person who's streaming their PS4 and say, like, you say I'm interested in, say, Knack, and I'm like, I kind of want that new Knack game because I had this issue today. I was like, I kind of want another game for the system because it's new and I want to try something different that isn't a shooter. So I went on, and you can look at all these games and you can watch people stream their game from the PlayStation 4. And it works really well. Like, I can search for a specific title, you know, and it, you know, you watch it, it looks great. I don't know how the Xbox One is going to work. I mean, I didn't know this was a feature for the PS4, so I was really surprised when I saw it, but I don't know if the Xbox One has that same functionality. I know you can stream.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure it has some kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah, that was one of the big things when the Xbox One was first announced, is that they announced that they were going to have Twitch streaming, and it was going to be all built in. It's easy peasy, whatever. and they were the only console to have it. And then a few weeks later, PlayStation struck a deal with Twitch, and now they both have Twitch streaming, which is awesome, because nobody wants to stream to any other service, really. I mean, if you're looking for viewers and you're looking to be in the gaming streaming space, then you have to be on Twitch. There is no other option.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm curious to see if Xbox will present those streams for you to watch in the same fashion that the PS4 has done, because I we'll think see. That is a killer feature for this.
Well, okay, I can speak in general terms here. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about like the ability for you to consume media, and I would say that
that's know, all Microsoft, the Xbox does.
Right, that's kind of like why you're paying
TV,
extra $100.
Call of Duty TV.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And, you know, whatever, cool. That's another thing. I don't feel comfortable yet with spending an extra $100 on that, because that's what I feel like I'm paying for. I feel like I'm paying for that extra features that I'll never use.
Well, and that's another question, too, with the Xbox One. I mean, a lot of the features are tied to the fact that you have a cable service. If you don't have a cable service, then you don't need those features and you can't use those features. So in the case in our household, we do not have cable. We have a super fast internet connection, which is awesome, but we don't have cable. So we would not
get the way,
TV channels.
That's going to be buggy as shit. Well, like, I'm not... it's... Oh, God. Try to work with cable providers about anything.
Yeah. No,
there's that.
It's... Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm more interested to see how the Xbox One launch goes, because I think they're trying to do a whole lot more that can go a whole lot worse. Like, the PS4, you know, everything has sort of just worked, but there's not a lot that can go wrong. I mean, they aren't doing anything too crazy, right? Like, the newest feature is sort of the streaming capturing thing.
Well, no, yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I just all I'm saying is that though with those, they're selling me features that I don't need, basically, or care to need.
Yeah,
you know. So whatever. Right. I don't. That's kind of it.
One quick question to you before we move on, Ryan. Just on this vein of streaming and consuming media. At least my biggest issue with Xbox in this current gen has been that you have to pay for live to do anything, right? You need to pay, have a live subscription in order to watch Netflix. Do you have to have the PlayStation Plus subscription with the PlayStation 4 to do all of the Twitch streaming and to, you know, consume Netflix and play multiplayer, all that kind of stuff? Because I know they were saying that some games would require it and some games wouldn't. And, you know, they... PlayStation, I found, at least a few months ago, wasn't really that clear on exactly what would be locked down and what wouldn't. So have you found that... I know that PlayStation Plus comes with the PlayStation 4, but...
Yeah, that's a good question. I know there are certain apps that aren't affected by the PlayStation Plus. Now, PlayStation Plus is, you know, it says, you know, access the instant game collection, which is something Xbox One is trying to duplicate, but I think Microsoft's too cheap to match Sony. And then it just says play online multiplayer. I don't know for a fact if Twitch is locked behind that paywall. I know Netflix isn't, because that's something they made sure to tout, but I wouldn't be surprised if it required PlayStation Plus, because it is sort of this, you know, feature that I think would kind of require that extra money,
right?
But I also wouldn't be, I you know, quick Google search.
But Sony's like, Sony has been free for so long that I mean, it would be,
I have,
it would be a good time if you were going to bring in a paywall to do it with your new next gen console. But at the same time, I mean, that's obviously not a popular move. But sorry, what were you going to say, Paul?
I was just going to say that I have heard that you do not need a PlayStation Plus account in order to stream.
Oh, nice. Well, there you go. So that's awesome, because that means you can stream single-player content at least. And
awesome. I think the main reason they put that the multiplayer paywall in there is just to avoid the whole mess that was online passes. I think that was the main reason that they did that. And I think that's really smart, because there's nothing worse than, say, renting a game and then not being able to play the multiplayer because... Mm-hmm. You know, renting or borrowing from a friend, like, it's super annoying.
Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much does it for our PlayStation 4 talk. We will talk about it again next week, Ryan, if you experience anything new and want to share it. But just wanted to quickly say that Ryan and I really appreciate your support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on, which would normally bring us to Quickfire News, but our special guest, Paul Swickard, was at BlizzCon, so screw Quickfire. We have BlizzCon!
We do indeed. BlizzCon was amazing.
Was it? Oh, man.
It was fun.
I haven't even had a chance yet to consume the virtual ticket content. I am so glad that that is available past the event, because, like, I was at HalCon last weekend, so I didn't actually get to watch it at the time, so that'll probably be what I do tomorrow, is just a ton of virtual ticket. We did watch the opening ceremonies and the Hearthstone fireside chat, or whatever they called it. So, you know, we tried to watch the WoW talk. Mm-hmm. That was boring me to tears. We couldn't
Which get... Which one?
The
What's the Next?
Or
The What's Next, I think, yeah. The one where I think it was Chris Metzen was just saying one thing and then pausing.
Oh, Chris Metzen.
Forever. And I was just like, just say it, dude.
Well, that's the issue with the virtual ticket, is that most of the interesting stuff can be summed up in, you know, a news story on Joystick. But I think the reason I think the reason that, you know, the expansion can be boiled down to, here's the bullet list, here's what to get excited about. But when you really want to drill down into it, and they can talk about it for an hour, you see the concept art, they have videos for every dungeon. And I think that's really, if you're going to watch the virtual ticket, you got to make sure you're kind of like a super fan. You really want to know all of this stuff and know so much useless information. In my mind, having not played WoW now, but for the hardcore WoW nerds, they'll want to know this stuff.
Sure. They wanted Merkalot, which is my big thing, is I really wanted the Merkalot pet and the Hearthstone card, you know? Which was one thing that I thought that Blizzard did really well, is everyone was kind of worried that the legendary Hearthstone card that you got with the virtual ticket was going to be exclusive to virtual ticket holders, and that it was going to essentially be game-breaking, which... they should know better than that by now. Blizzard doesn't do stuff like that. They don't break pet battles with the exclusive pets. They don't break StarCraft with...
And if they did, they would
with banners?
I don't know.
Oh, no, your banner's distracting. I just misclicked and my APMs went down. Damn it.
Exactly. So, you know, you had to know that they wouldn't break the game. And they did make it exclusive in a way, in that the gold version of the card is you can only get by being either attendee or virtual ticket holder. But you can craft the legendary the same way you can craft every legendary. So it is actually available in-game to everyone. It's just you can't craft the gold version. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the end, I think they did really well. And the reason that, again, that I bought the virtual ticket was mostly for the extras. But I did want to see a lot of the content, too. The opening ceremonies was pretty good. I laughed so hard when he was like... so, who's in the Hearthstone beta? And most of the crowd cheered, and then, like, who's not? And then some of the crowd cheered, and he's like, well, good news for you guys! Open beta in a month and a half, and everyone was just like, silence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like, it's like everyone was expecting either open beta on BlizzCon weekend, or, like, all attendees get into, like, get beta access, get into the...
Sure.
They should have just given all the people their beta access.
Should have!
Yeah.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot, like, just in general when it comes to BlizzCon, because everyone always expects, like, these big, just earth-shattering news.
Yeah.
So whenever they, you know, drop one of those, like, you know, sort of middling things, like, you know, it's like, oh, what?
Wow.
That's cool.
My favorite part about the opening ceremony was when they said... Hearthstone's going to be coming to the iPhone in the later half of 2014. And, like, it just seemed like everybody, like, there were a lot of Android users that everyone's just like, oh, what about Android? Which seems to be, like, the standard response. And it almost like they knew everybody in the crowd was going to do that. So then it's like, oh, it's coming to Android too later, you know, don't worry about it, guys.
Yeah, they set that up pretty well.
I thought that was really well done.
I actually, I swear to God, I had no idea what they were going to say. Like, I heard grumbling in the crowd, but I'm like, what? What's the problem? It's on iOS. What's the deal? And then they showed the Android logo and everybody cheered. I'm like, oh, right. Okay,
oh, sorry. Right. You yeah. guys are sorry. Uber geeks and you're all Androids.
Yeah. Don't get the Android lovers started. I mean, we already have a bad rapport with them.
Whatever, man. And then whole feud, like much like the console feud, is
it's not worth it.
No, well, one of the things that is just so great about BlizzCon, especially when you talk about the WoW stuff, mm-hmm. is that, much to Ryan's point, these people are so invested mm-hmm. in their game and in their characters. It's just so the tension, Jocelyn. When you are in that room with 20,000 other people who, like, will shout at the top of their lungs, you know, for the Horde or whatever, they, like, I can feel them, like, just clawing at their chair when they start announcing these things that they're going to change.
Yeah, so...
Like, both out of fear and out of just excitement. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
So what was the reaction like? Because, I mean, obviously we've seen Twitter, we've seen, you know, all of the articles and, you know, the reactions of the crowd and stuff, but what was the actual feel like on the ground at the con after Warlords of Draenor was announced? Which, for those of you who don't know, who don't follow WoW, Warlords of Draenor is the next WoW expansion. We're not 100% sure when that release date is coming, correct? We didn't get a reason.
No, they didn't announce it. So, if I were a betting man, I'd say the first half of next year.
Okay. Oh. I was going to say probably maybe September next year, but,
Oh, well, okay. Yes. Was there another part to your question?
No, it's okay.
I don't want to talk over you. Okay. No, the reason why I say the first part of next year is because they've already said that they're not going to have any other raid content for this expansion. Mm-hmm. And they're already, like, they're at Siege of Orgrimmar now, and they're already getting a little, like, it's already getting a little long in the tooth. So, if they're talking about, you know, at most another 6 months of this, mm-hmm. I can see people kind of falling off of the WoW wagon, as it were.
Yeah, that's very true.
But anyway, two things. I think, one, I'm glad they waited a year to talk. I'm glad they skipped last year's BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Because this year actually felt like they announced quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes in previous years, you're just kind of like, really? That was it?
Yeah.
And you, again, kind of like what I was saying earlier, this is what they've done to themselves. Everyone expects something huge, and it doesn't always happen.
Well, and I mean, the perfect example of that is StarCraft. Is that there were no big announcements. They basically, like, they had WCS, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't announce anything. They basically got up and said, Legacy of the Void is not ready. We're having trouble making Protoss feel like how it should, which basically they're saying, like, we want it to feel like the master race. We want you to be able to build your units and feel like you're powerful, but we still want it to be challenging, and we don't want to break the balance of the game, and we're really struggling with that. So we know the story that we're going to tell, but the game doesn't feel right. So, you know, it's nowhere near being ready. And, you know, I think everybody, all the StarCraft fans just kind of walked in and went, oh, we were expecting like a release date for this or something.
Sure.
When did they talk about that?
I do not envy that position.
No.
What? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, when did they talk about the StarCraft 2? Was that during the StarCraft 2 update that they talked about that?
Yeah.
Because that's super interesting to me. The fact that they're actually talking about this expansion, you know, not being ready.
Well, they kind of already announced it, yeah.
Well, they announced it a long time ago. I mean,
right. That's kind of the point, right? So everybody's wondering, like, where the hell is it? Mm-hmm. It's a natural question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you remember Heart of the Swarm, like, they leaked... there was a leak of these cinematics, like the very rough early draft of the cinematics.
That wasn't a leak.
Sorry, not a leak. Well.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It? That was two BlizzCons ago. No, it was a
preview.
No.
Yeah, I know what he's talking
it
about.
It's
a storyboard.
It's
a storyboard of the cinematic, meaning that you just see drawings.
Yes,
But what I'm saying is it spoiled the story for people who watched it. But it was a leak in the sense that it was not an intentional leak. You know what I mean? Is there another word that I'm missing? Like a hack, I guess? Is that what we're trying to... Anyways, it was interesting to see how far along these cinematics are. Like they, like you said, they built the story. The story's there. So they probably have all of that stuff ready to go.
The story's not the issue. It's about the balance.
Well,
it's all about the balance.
Now, the balance, like, of the campaign?
No. Well, I mean, that too, but certainly the multiplayer.
Well, yeah, I think...
The multiplayer is...
What they were talking about, I think, was, like, new units that they wanted to bring in. They were talking about, like, for those of you who've played the Heart of the Swarm campaign, you have a hero unit, which is Kerrigan, and there are some levels in the campaign where you can do the whole thing just as Kerrigan. You don't even really need to make your swarms because she's so powerful, as she should be. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, she's not in the multiplayer, but in Protoss, like kind of the lore surrounding the race mm-hmm. is that, you know, there is no one hero of Protoss. You know, there's Zeratul, who is very central to the story, but he would be much more of like a stealthy kind of a character, like a get in, get out sort of thing, not a roll over everybody, queen of the swarm type character. And so basically what that means is the lore behind Protoss is that all units are powerful and, you know, die for the cause type units. And it's very difficult to build a race for a campaign with that sort of dominating feeling, like you could just, they could come in and destroy your planet in a blink and you wouldn't even know what's going on because they have the whole, you right. know, like warpy stuff and crystal stuff and all this technology and stuff that nobody even understands. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of mixed with almost magic, you know? So it just, it's this really interesting race with all this lore behind it. And to take that and try to then balance it against Marines and squishy, squishy bugs is just like they're having trouble making the single player feel mesh with the campaign or mesh with the multiplayer sort of thing, you know?
Okay. Well, so, I mean, it sounds like
it's really interesting.
Yeah, I need to watch. That's the one I do need to watch before. I watched a bunch of the Virtual Ticket, both live. And man, Blink 182 was shit.
I mean, I wasn't even there.
I
decided a long time ago.
Oh, really? Like, I remember hearing them in high school, you know, listening. And I mean, they're the type of band that, like, very produced. Like, they sound great on CD. I mean, I hate, like, going to a concert and hearing them sing. It's like, oh, my God, that's not Blink 182. And I had it on in the background. And I didn't enjoy it very much. But I'm not a big concert guy either. Foo Fighters was amazing 2 years ago.
Green Day is amazing live.
Oh, really? Anyways. I haven't heard them live. I mean, if they get Green Day at the next one, then for sure. But, you know, Blink 182, it just seems kind of like, you know, you're 10 years too late. you know, I watched the movie panel. Actually, you know what? Rather than talk about that, like, Paul, what panels did you see? Because I'm more curious in hearing the live perspective. We talked about this last
time. You know what, Ryan? Continue to talk. I'll listen.
I'd rather listen to your sultry voice.
For the whole show. That's all we need.
Is that why we got Paul on?
Yep.
Eye candy. All right. Yep. Sweet.
Bring the baby back.
Maybe one less button there, Paul. One less button.
All right. Oh.
Well, he's wearing an undershirt, so it wouldn't matter.
Next time I won't have a shirt underneath. I'm sure that'll go over great.
So
the opening ceremony is something that should not be missed if you ever go to BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. So I saw the opening ceremony. It was very good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought the cinematic of Heroes of the Storm was freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Like, the crowd absolutely ate that up. Like, they just watching all your favorite characters
and just quickly
crap at each other is just so cool.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Heroes of the Storm is basically Blizzard's answer to Dota. It is their MOBA that takes in all of the characters from the StarCraft universe, from the WoW universe, and from the what's their other one? Oh, Diablo, right. Mm. That game I never play.
Yeah, like, that's
I literally totally blanked on what their third game was.
it's probably,
but anyways, so it takes all of your favorite characters from all of Blizzard's properties, which, I mean, they have so much lore and so much built up in these properties that I think Heroes of the Storm is going to be an absolute blast. So anyways, that's what Heroes of the Storm is. Continue.
Heroes of the Storm.
Is it fun? Really, it looks really
good. Well, we'll get to that. That is at the actually the tail end of my story.
Oh, cool. Sorry. So we're just getting started. It's like a trilogy
of an adventure. The panel editions. Immediately after that was the WoW panel that Jocelyn was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And two things. One is generally people liked it. Like, I mean, people were stoked about it. They thought it was a lot of, oh, well, finally, like, you know, like the updating of models, which WoW desperately needs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even funny. Like, the humans look awful. Like, the humans are, and people use that as an example. Like, none of them look especially great, but yeah, they need updates. What can we say?
Well, I mean, it's a what, 9-year-old game now? Next BlizzCon is going to be the 10th anniversary of WoW. So
it's going to be crazy.
Needs to be. I'm going to be there. I made the decision. I got shit from both Garrett and Dills. They were just like, "What the? Come on, never again. You can never again miss BlizzCon." So I'm going.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good.
It's fantastic. And yeah, okay, so. Another, and right after that, there was a discussion about the raid panel. Well, they discussed quite a bit of things. They talked about garrisons, which are, that people call it player housing. It is kind of, it's kind of like, they're saying they're trying to make it feel more like the RTS game in the sense that you're kind of building up a base.
Right.
Of doing things, and you have minions and you can tell them to do things, which, you know, awesome. I think for most people, it's going to be one of those things that, you know, a handful of players is going to get really, really into it, and a lot of others are just kind of ignore it.
Yeah. Which happens with a lot of features that they introduce in World of Warcraft. It's such a big game. I mean, well, pet battles is a really good example. Sure, there are some people that are hardcore about pet battles and stats. Then there's other people like myself who are just really hardcore about collecting them all and just wanting to get them all. I don't want to be the best at pet battling. I just want to make sure that my collection is complete. And then there's other people that are just, you can battle pets now. What? Who does that?
Right. Well, exactly. It's all about retention of subscribers, right? So they put as many different little things in there to keep you interested in the game. So whether it's always looking for new raid, or even to keep people from unsubbing until new raids come out. It's like, well, I'm not going to be able to do the next raid until 4 months from now, so I might as well just take up pet battling or archaeology.
And I think they genuinely want to make a better game. Like, yes. I think they actually want to make things more streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
Another good thing that I think is long overdue is that with the purchase of the Warlords of Draenor, you're automatically going to have a character that's level 90.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is invaluable. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been frustrated that they've been dragging their heels on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, and you know what? I'm glad they recognize this. You guys know that Greg Street showed up at the instance, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and he actually made a really interesting point, and I'm glad he thought, like, they're thinking about this. He said that when people first start WoW, the content that they see is arguably the worst content because it's the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when they first started out for the majority of the races.
Yeah.
And they don't want that. They want the content to be fresh.
Exactly.
So,
which makes perfect sense.
Totally. And I'm glad that's happening. I mean,
we've touched on this a couple times throughout all the episodes, and I did write an article for Doghouse about this, that leveling sucks. And the only thing that got through the 18 months it took me to power through the 1 to 85, and well, I guess 1 to 90 in the end, was that my friends are playing, and that I would log in and I would just stand in Orgrimmar and chat to the guild. And that was what I was doing, because leveling just sucked. So I'm glad to do something.
You know what? Different strokes for different folks. I know some people who genuinely enjoy the leveling experience. I know people who level for fun. Like, they just create another tune and they go through it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like doing. I am with you on that one completely.
I think people like that, though, are people who played it through and have, like, played the game for 10 years, played it through when it was original content. There's a nostalgia feeling to them where they can look at the content and go, oh, I remember when I did X with Y person. Whereas I come to it and I go, I am leveling through this so fast. I don't know where to go next. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who these people are. I have no context. Like,
right.
I mean, I've had people say like, oh, when this thing happened, then, you know, that was one of my favorite WoW moments. And I'm just like, wait, what thing happened? Grosh sure. wasn't always the leader. I don't understand what's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's or, so sorry, Garrosh.
Another thing.
I'm curious, though, before we move on from the level boost to 90, like, did they address at all, like, one of the things I learned, like, I played on the PTR a couple times, and they just throw you into, like, a high-level character. Are they looking at any way to kind of address the learning curve of giving you all your abilities at once? Like,
right.
Are they going to, like, gradually teach you, okay, this is what this does and this with this, or do they just say, like, like, if I get my brand new friend who has never played an MMO before, and it's like, oh, join me at level 90, and they just jump in, like, does Blizzard expect them to sort of, like, drill down and figure out what everything does? Like, I think that's the beauty of leveling.
They did acknowledge that as a potential issue with people.
Well, you're going to say that's going to lead you into something, and I'm like, no, wait, because I have something to say about this.
sure.
I played as a Beastmaster from 1 to 90, mm-hmm. and uh-huh. then I switched to Survivalist, and yes, I'm a hunter, ha ha ha. So,
that's a joke.
I just, well, that people make fun
whatever,
of
whatever, I was a hunter for ages.
Yeah.
Bite me.
Again, I really liked collecting all the pets. Anyways, not the point. my point is that I went 1 to 90 as a Beastmaster. Survival is a completely different style of play, really. Mm-hmm. And I learned it through Proving Grounds for a little bit and then just going somewhere where the mobs were harder and I had more time to figure out a rotation. And so what I did was I went to the Timeless Isle because things there just take forever to kill. So, you know, and I was able to learn in about a week how to play my new spec. And that's all it is essentially learning a new spec, whether, you know, like you have to learn your spells for switching between specs of a hunter, or if you have to learn the difference between a hunter and a mage. It's just a different spec. It's just a different set of spells. And it can be done. You don't learn anything leveling, because leveling is so damn easy now. You go mm-hmm. through stuff so fast, you kill stuff so easily, that you don't have to learn a rotation. I had two or three spells that I just smashed on while I was leveling, and I would kill stuff in 4 shots
mm-hmm.
at most.
Well, so, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, you talk about learning a new spec, and I'm not even talking about those people. Like, the people, say I've never played a paladin, and I boost a guy to 90, and I'm competent enough with WoW that I will be able to do what you're describing. Just, you know, deal with it and learn, in, you know, over the course of some grinding. But I'm talking about the people who just are jumping in fresh and getting their 90 to play with, say, us or you know, whatever. They're the people who are going to have the issue. And I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that Blizzard needs to implement something, but it'd be nice to have something there to kind of explain. I don't know. It's just, it seems like there needs to be something there to mm-hmm. net people and say like, okay, don't run away. I know there are 20 things that just appeared in your hotbar, but let's kind of focus on a few of the key ones and teach you how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But not over tutorialize it. I mean, there's got to be the, and Blizzard is the one to do it. They'll hit a sweet balance if they're going to do something.
That's true. Or someone will make an add-on. Sorry, Paul, you were going to say something.
Now you can talk, Paul. Sorry.
Yeah. So that leads you to.
That y'all sure? No. no. Well, okay. Just as a general rule, when you play WoW, you almost always, it's kind of a requirement, you always have some kind of supplemental content, meaning mm-hmm. that you kind of have to go somewhere else in order to learn a lot of the systems that you would need to learn in order to raid, for example.
Right.
Like, there's no, can't raid.
There's no
raid.
How to raid tutorial.
Well, right. And there you go, well, and you have to go to YouTube to look at how to get down this boss. You need, I don't know of anybody who doesn't use deadly boss mods that is taking raiding even half seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. What Blizzard is trying to prevent is people leaving like that. So I know they're going to try. I know they did mention, I don't know if this is part of it, but they're going to try to tutorialize a little bit better for you what is available to you, especially in the way of your skills.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that they did mention something called adventure mode, which it kind of, what they're touting that to be is, okay, I haven't played WoW for maybe 6 months, just as an example, and I rejoin. What it's supposed to do is it's supposed to look at where you are in terms of your gear level or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. a variety of different things. Okay, you need to go content that would be good for you is probably in the Timeless Isle.
Right.
Gear that would be good for you is probably, you know, in LFR doing blah, 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 or, you know, doing flex or whatever. Right. So I think that that's where the direction that they're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're successful about that, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as someone who drops their sub and resubs every 3 or 4 months, that feature is, like, perfect. That is exactly what I want. Oh, totally.
Like, if I were to sub again right now, there's no way I would know without looking in all kinds of different places about where I should be going in order to improve my character.
I'll resub and you know, you get in there, and unless someone tells you what to do, it's kind of like,
right,
I'm going to spend an hour figuring out what I want to do, and then when you know, log out and think, oh, I should play WoW, it's like, no, I'll just have to play an hour trying to figure out what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's that loop that just constantly screws me over, and I think that feature there is like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go straight to this point, you know, and do what this is telling me to do. And eventually you won't even need to consult it because, again, you'll get on that path, right? But I think it's nice to know, you know, to have a system that says, you know, you should probably go do this.
Yeah.
Sure.
Fair enough. Sure. So what else did you do at BlizzCon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From there, we went to, after the original panel, we went to actually play one of the dungeons, the first new dungeon in WoW, and we got as far as the first boss. We downed him. We're nice. Writing FAQ already.
No. You got him on farm yet? <we're>
Yeah. And I can say that the new character models for the ones they had look great. They had the dwarf, they had the orc, and they had the gnome.
Right.
And I remember
looking at that and seeing all the character models that were missing, and that, like, blood elves aren't even on the list. And I was just like, okay, I do realize that blood elves came with the next expansion with Burning Crusade. But at the same time, like, Burning Crusade is still years and years and years old. Like, if you're going to one, just do them all. Just do them.
Yeah. I think they will. I think that that's just what they wanted to show.
Mm.
And I think...
Well, I don't know, because I went to the actual site, not just... I'm not talking just about the actual presentation. I mean, on the website, it says coming soon for all the races, except for not the Pandaren, not the Draenei, and not the Blood Elves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so too bad. Have,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically just the Burning Crusade stuff and the Mists of Pandaria stuff is not getting redone, at least from what the site is showing. It says everything else coming soon, and then it shows you can look at the model for the gnome, the dwarf, and the orc, and that's it.
I think they'll fix that eventually.
I hope so.
Anyway, whatever. Whatever.
Who plays a blood elf anyway?
Me. Oh yeah, I thought you were making a slight of me.
Well, there's no difference. Anyway, we also played a bit of Diablo 3. They're adding a new class called the Crusader.
Cool.
That class is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You're basically the equivalent of a knight. And I always
kind of want to get back into it, but
you know what?
Some of those abilities are badass.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one that you can summon a fire steed. And he leaves this trail of fire behind him as you roll around. There's another one where it's basically like a giant hammer of justice. You go flying up in the air and then come crashing down.
Nice.
it feels weighty. Like I liked that. I liked that. And you use your shield like as a weapon. It's kind of cool.
So that is very close to the paladin, because I know playing with Joel, he plays paladin and he has an attack where he throws his shield. And he's got the big, mighty dropping hammer, and I'm trying to remember. No, I think it might be the warlock mount, maybe.
Warlock mount
that has the flaming horses is what.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's not all ripped off the paladin, but that sounds very paladin-y to me.
Yeah, they said they got inspiration from the 300 movies, which I can kind of see.
Mm.
Like, basically being able to use your weapon and your shield in kind of tandem.
Mm.
So
did you play Diablo 3 on a console or a PC?
So I played on the PC, and then I played it on the PS4.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
So, like, Jocelyn was saying, like, she always wanted to get back into Diablo 3, and I tried, there's a downloadable demo on the PS3 at least, but I'm sure on the Xbox as well, and using a controller with game...
Wait, what did you say?
Did I go robot-y?
No, I'm wondering what you just said. Like, you know that it's not coming to Xbox, right?
Diablo 3 is currently on Xbox 360.
Okay.
I can never tell whether it's robot or you're just like, that does not compute. Diablo 3 is on the consoles right this second, right now. You could go out and buy a copy.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure. I just played a demo on the PS3. It was not in my imagination.
Right? You played it on the PS3.
But not the Xbox, I believe.
My point is, I'm pretty sure it's exclusive.
No, it's not. It is. Sure. Anyways.
Okay, we are not Googling on the show.
I would suggest you try Diablo 3 on the console.
I'll do the condensed version of awesome. the line for Heroes of the Storm is just bad all freaking both days. Both days have been awful, and with good reason. I get it. It's just annoying. Anyway, moving on.
Just for the record, the chat room saved your butts. Ryan is right. It is available on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 as of September 3rd. PlayStation 4 is coming in 2014. Mm-hmm. It is not coming to the Xbox One.
Okay, that's probably where the confusion lies. Mm-hmm. I apologize.
Thank you, chat room.
We're both right, as Ryan likes to say.
Compromise! Hey!
Let's see, moving on. Day two, we saw the movie panel. There was a gross lack of information that everybody wanted to know. I don't see how a lot of times they can have these panels and not give you, like, just... I kind of figured they'd at least tell us the story. Yeah. I know they know it.
They already know what they're going into production.
Well, kind of. Mm-hmm. They said that it's about, like, they said it's origin stories. Right? Like
No. There was a leak. Well, not really a leak. There was basically a job ad for, I can't remember what it was posted on, but it was basically like the ACTRA website or whatever. And it showed a synopsis of the WoW movie. It was like 4 weeks ago, I want to say now. Mm-hmm. And it's Arthas. It's the Lich King.
Oh,
well. Are you sure?
Yeah.
During the panel, they were talking about
Durotan. Totally did not say that.
Yeah.
I said, go listen to the instance, dude. You're supposed to be the intern.
I'm just saying.
I'm behind.
that was 3 or 4 weeks ago now was that.
I thought so, too. I swear to God. I thought it was around Arthas. But what they were saying at the panel kind of refutes that.
What did they say at the panel then? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they said was that it's about how the original conflict of how it started between the humans and the orcs. Which is way different than Arthas. Like, it's many, many years apart.
Yeah.
So I heard that the whole they were going to talk about the death of Arthas, basically, which kind of makes sense. I swore up and down that they would do something. That with related to Arthas.
Well, it makes Arthas no sense. Is such He's an so- amazing, relatable character. He's a great place to start. He's going to pull people in that are not fans of WoW, just that are fans of fantasy, that liked Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is so popular. Like, it's going to bring in mainstream people because it's a relatable story, and he's a very interesting character. Not to mention cool ice sword thing. Like, yes, please.
True. I think cool Arthas, ice sword is a huge seller.
Yeah.
I think Arthas might be, like, the easy way out, and what they proposed at the panel...
Easy way.
I think it is the easy way out when you really think about it. It's a great story, and it's a human character who turns supernatural... But with the story they just, and, you know, they weren't even going to talk about the story on the panel. Like, they had to get it out of Duncan. No, they did in a sense that they said, like, they didn't say, like, and this happens and this happens. They didn't give a synopsis. They just basically, it's going to focus on, you know, before the first war. And he mentioned two characters. Uther and Durotan, which gives you an idea of what the movie will be about. Not Arthas, basically.
They gave us screenshots, not screenshots, but concept art.
Yeah, which looked fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, it looks great. And I mean, what the pedigree that they have going on there, what was most encouraging to me about that whole thing was that Duncan and the visual effects artist, sorry, I don't remember your name. I know the gamer's in. They really love the lore. They love WoW. And I think they want to do right by the series. And that is very encouraging to me personally.
Yeah. WoW is so, not necessarily lucky, but just they have so much. They've built so much. Sure. They have so many, I've just started reading the novels and, you know, getting all the backstory that I missed by coming to the gate. And, just what they have to pull from, the material there and the characters, everything is so deep. I'm so looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the WoW movie finally being a good video game movie that everyone can get behind. And then, you know, this will be the catalyst like Spider-Man was for superhero movies where people are just like, oh, wow, there's money in this and we can do it right.
No. Yeah. I hear you. And we'll see, basically.
Let's do this.
They have a cast. They didn't say who it was. Again, disappointing, but whatever. I'm glad.
They walked in with nothing, unfortunately. Like they had an hour panel, and they had three sets of concept art, which looked great. But there was no, like if you look at the other panels, there was a reveal set. And with the WoW movie, there was no reveal set. Like, they just talked about it, really.
Okay, quick question, Swick. In the panel, did you get to see the mystery footage?
No. Another disappointment. See, that's, again, freaking A. How is it possible that they displayed this thing at Comic-Con and nobody leaked it?
I think it didn't. I think it didn't exist. Everyone's just like, okay, guys, we're gonna prank.
Is this a joke?
We're gonna troll the entire internet. We are gonna tell them that we have seen like 2 minutes of the WoW movie, and then we're just gonna show it.
Well,
it
even then, it's not in production yet. So it was just test footage, I guess. Yep. Like, hey, it's gonna look like this. They mentioned that it was going to look like movies like Avatar, meaning that it'll be human faces, human interaction. With CG on top,
right?
Basically, that's how they're going to do the orcs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of little discussions about, like, you know, the human armor looks like it's unmanageable in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make like realistic armor while having it not look just completely unwieldy or actually being unwieldy because, you know, there's actors in it.
Exactly.
But whatever. It's a lot of wait and sees. It's a lot of wait and sees. I think, you know, they didn't give us enough information. They said they had a date. They didn't say what it was. They just said they had a date. Originally, it was going to be in 2015.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I don't think it's going to be in 2015.
Oh, they have a date now. They've announced it officially as December 18th.
It's not going to be that close to Star Wars, dude.
Well, they'll move it because of Star Wars, but their scheduled release date is December 18th, 2015 at this point.
All I can tell you is that Duncan said that it's going to be over 2 years away from where we were. Now, that does fall within the winter timeline of 2015. I just know
we're in 2013. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like...
Is it 2014 already?
I was totally thinking we were in 2014. I was like, that's totally fine. I could wait a year. It's all good. Wait a minute. There's another whole year in there.
Something doesn't compute. No.
Jocelyn just math.
Yeah.
late
at night.
Yeah.
I know they don't want to compete because the same people that are going to, like, when push comes to shove, people are going to watch Star Wars before they watch the WoW movie, and that is a lot of the same audience.
Well, then, do you think they'll push it earlier? Maybe get it a November release?
No.
You think it'll go into 2016?
I do.
Balls.
Sorry.
Do you think that they'll go with it like a January 2016?
No.
Or do you think they'll make it like a summer blockbuster type
Maybe
release?
Do a March. I love the releases.
Right. So they might. I think Ryan may be right about that. I don't think it'll go as far as summer. I do think. But you're right, Joss. Like, they're not gonna. January is where movies go to die.
Yeah,
and just they're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
We saw the live raid between Midwinter and Method.
That was really cool to watch.
That was really cool. It was very close for a little while, and then Method just ran away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all good, and then I actually got to hang out with the Instance crew.
Fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of good times. That's my first time there. I had never been to the AIE Guild Hall thing.
Right.
But
It would be like mini Nurtacular in the middle of BlizzCon.
It really was. Like, yeah. A lot of great people were there. Just there are less of us. Like, you know, mm-hmm. there's maybe at its highest point, maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 people.
Nice.
But
that's a good mix. That's a good mix.
Yeah. It was cool. And then, you know, we got to do the live instance and Greg Street showed up and Scott didn't know that Greg Street was going to show up. So watching his reaction is hilarious. And then he kept saying to me afterwards, he's like, did that really just happen? And he was being serious looking at me like, did that? No, that happened, right? Seriously?
Did we get that on tape? Yeah, I'm going to need to watch that back.
It really did happen. He's like, and then he was telling Tom, he's like, you know what? I nailed it. I just... Holy crap.
I nailed it, but you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Scott's reactions are funny.
Greg Street was really a nice guy. He was very amiable to questions, and there were plenty. It started a bit of a, we'll call it a kerfuffle. It started a bit of a kerfuffle because he said offhand that they were toying with the idea of not having any flying patch after the original release of World of the Draenor. And that, oh my God.
My Twitter exploded. And I was just like, I don't want to fly. Like,
every forum, every single one, MMO Champion, the WoW forums themselves, Icy Veins, like just.
It's like they just need something to complain about. And flying mounts has always been one of those things that either people don't care or they just care too much. It's weird.
Yeah. And, the point that, because I got into a conversation with a couple friends on Twitter about this, and one of the things that they said, make it so I can't fly until, in this case, it'll be level 100. Like, once I hit level cap, you know, that's fine, but don't make me wait for a patch. And I'm just like, yeah, but it's kind of nice just to keep everybody on a level playing field, regardless of actual level, but, you know, keep everybody on the ground for a month or two. You know, explore. Follow the, because one of the arguments was, oh, but, you know, you get up to these weird, you know, cliffs and rocks and you can't get around stuff and whatever. And I'm like, there's roads everywhere. It takes longer, but you can get to everywhere. They don't make anything inaccessible, with the exception of, like, there was a couple of things that you could only get with flying after there were flying mounts. So, you know, it's, I would love if they kept people on ground mounts. Plus, now when you can fly everywhere, ground mounts don't really get used. But there's nothing wrong with the Timeless Isle. You can't fly on the Timeless Isle, and that's awesome.
There's a lot of plus and minuses. Basically, people don't want to feel less mobile. Mm-hmm. That's really what it goes down to. It makes it people feel weird.
I just feel like when you're given the ability to fly, it makes it feel like you're in low. So it makes the game feel easier. And you miss a lot of content because you can just hop on your mount and fly over an area as opposed to having to walk through it and see the different models of the different, whether they're, you know, critters or beasts or enemies, you know, whatever. Just, you can skip it all, and that's no fun.
Sure. And, you know, it's one of those balancing acts that they have to do. They're like, which is why they wait. Right. Eventually you're going to get to fly, but
yes,
they want to show you stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it totally, like when they originally introduced flying mounts, I wasn't there, but Greg was talking about it. He's like, it completely borked PvP because people could swoop in, kill and swoop out. Mm-hmm. Like there was.
Well, that was world it. PvP turned into something that you could, you know, keep an eye on to. Now I always have to be sort of on edge. You know, when you were out in the Outlands and you were on a PvP server and you were accidentally flagged, you were always looking behind you and looking up to make sure people didn't come down. Because a rogue could come down, gank you, and be right back up, and nobody could do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're right, it did kind of weird out PvP.
And then after that, Patrick brought... Patrick Beja, you guys know him, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He works, for those who don't know, Patrick works for Blizzard PR in France. And I think he did something. He talked to Greg and had him come on. And then after that, when I say all of us, like it was me, Scott, Brian Ibbett, Tom, Nicole, Mark Spag, just a bunch of other folks. There were 10 of us. Mm-hmm. And we all wanted to play Heroes of the Storm, right? And we thought a good time to do that was during the Blink 182 concert because none of us wanted to see it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, as a, you know, it is typical old man kind of a thing, whatever. But I was having more fun at the Guildhall anyway, so time well spent. So we all went down there, and everybody had the same freaking idea.
Like,
it didn't. It didn't look too packed on the virtual ticket.
But Patrick, in his HR-iness of Blizzard, was able to get us in, like get the 10 of us to play.
Wow!
I know, and it was like, and it was a 5v5 match, and it was so much fun. There's a lot I could say about that. Like I played Dota for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and what this game is different enough that I think it's going to both be interesting to the person who's played those kind of games before and not as taxing to someone who's just starting because it uses a lot of concepts that everybody seems to understand. Like
I find Dota 2, League of Legends quite inaccessible to play at anything more than like, I mean, I tried it and enjoyed it at a very low level, but as soon as you get into like the point where you start playing with other people that you don't know and everything else, and you know, it just it's too much.
It's a trial by fire.
Yeah,
very much. Like it is, you're gonna get ripped apart up and down.
Exactly. I mean, you're gonna get destroyed in terms of gameplay. You're gonna get destroyed in terms of like chat and just the at times. Like it just, it's not a. It's not conducive to new players joining the game. Yeah. It's like, if you haven't been on board since day one, forget it, get out, go find something else to play. So I find that WoW games in general are more accessible. I mean, even if you look at Hearthstone versus Magic, Hearthstone's way more accessible than Magic ever is. Even the
that's true.
Virtual versions of like Duel of the Planeswalkers for Magic, you know, it's like you can buy that on Steam and play that, and it's not nearly as accessible as Hearthstone is.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, the systems aren't overwhelming. Well, you know,
like, well, right, yes. And it's easy to get into, difficult to master.
Yes,
and in the same way that I think Hearthstone is.
Absolutely.
Hmm. Right off the top, there's more than one map.
Yes.
So, and in those maps, there is some level of interactivity, meaning that you can actually do something in the map to affect everybody else.
Which is
that's
very
not true in Dota or League.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. So I played as Diablo, which is awesome. He is Scott hated my guts. So first of all, okay, you have collective leveling, meaning that I don't have a level. We have a team level.
Which is so, very cool.
Right. So meaning that everything that you do is contributing to a group level, meaning we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still see, like you can see the breakdown of what who's doing what if you wanted to.
Right.
But in the end, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's the same kind of level, which is great. Second thing, there are no items.
Oh, thank God.
Which is also very nice, because that's what I hate about Dota, is that, you know, there are so many freaking things. I never know what to buy. You know, all I know is that I'm supposed to be trying to get as much gold.
Yeah, items are you know, in Dota, like, they've gone a long way with the guides, Paul, that you sort of introduced me to in Dota 2.
It helps.
But it helps, but it's definitely not perfect. It doesn't replace, you know, the months you can spend, you know, really mastering it. And I'm glad that Blizzard has said, you know what, let's not bother with, let's focus on the fun. And, you know, it's kind of, the parallels it draws to the Smash Brothers series, in the sense that you got like so many characters in there, but also with Smash Brothers, like, I would just turn items off. Like, let's just freaking hit each other, man. Too much complexity and randomness to it. Let's just talk about the heroes, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. And there's a lot of other little things, like you can choose between, you know how when you level up, you choose between a series of which ability you want to level up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have that, just not as specific. Like, I get, you know, I can choose from a list of three things saying, you know, I want to buff up all my abilities by 10%, or I want more health, or I want more whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just allows you to choose, and you just, hey, pick this one. I want this one.
Right.
I cursed the other team somehow. and like they're okay, and in the jungle there are bigger minions. Mm-hmm. Once you beat those minions, they don't die. They kind of cower. And once all of them in the group cower, they kind of are on your team now. So they'll just start going attacking towers.
Oh, cool.
So it actually adds a further benefit for you to, you know, try to actually do something about that.
Nice.
Really all I can say is it's just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Which, it's a lot of fun to play. That's pretty much what Blizzard does is, you know, they take a look, do their own take on some existing ideas, and it's just always.
Well, the line that they kept saying, even like the Heroes of the Storm panel and so on, is that they want to make games that they want to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of falls into place for them, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One last thing before we obviously have to wrap up, but
yeah, we do have to wrap this up.
When it comes to Titan, that's the biggest elephant in the room you could possibly fit into that convention center.
Sure.
Did it come up? Was it something people like? You see all their announced few more years to enjoy all these other great Blizzard titles, but it just feels a little weird that like for years, you know, we were kind of getting okay, 2013, Titan's going to be a thing. And then, obviously, there was news that Titan, you know, gone back to the drawing board to a certain extent.
Right.
And then we didn't see it. So, was that an issue for people? It certainly didn't seem like it from the reactions I saw.
They are into it. The people, you know, much in the way the joke among them is they're going to get a lot of feedback for just all of this stuff that they'd announced. Meaning sure. that, you know, you're on the ground and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, you know, people start talking and people start, you know, starting flaming on the forums. And then they just, you know, it's just kind of a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that the general sense, they didn't bring Titan up. But I think everybody knows pretty much why that is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to say? They ripped it up. You know, yeah. I don't even think it's a game yet.
Yeah.
I think they have an idea about what they want to do with it, but they don't show these things until they're almost done anyway.
Absolutely. Well,
I mean, look at Heroes of the Storm. They, you know, they had a, it was basically a mod and then it changed
right.
two or three times over development. So, and that's just a well, small little thing. So that, you can imagine what Titan, you know, could be going through.
That
right now.
Discussion did come up quite a bit. Is
yeah, it did. With yeah.
it being such a crowded space, how can Heroes of the Storm survive? And I guess after having, it's probably a different of enough game for people to be interested.
Mm-hmm.
That panel was great. So if you do have the virtual ticket, make sure you watch the Heroes of the yeah. Storm panel for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much does it for this week. And actually, I mean, it's really the first week back in a long time. I mean, we haven't had a proper Gamers In episode since the week before Extra Life. So yeah, it's been
oh wow,
it's been fun. Thanks, guys. Swick, what do you want to plug before we head off?
Joe called Sleeping with the Elephant with Mr. Ryan Murphy right over there.
Mm-hmm.
We talk
other side, point the other way.
We talk about
crack smoking mayors, basically. Lately,
exactly.
it's been a lot of that.
He's been. Oh my! I love the Toronto mayor. He is hilarious. He's a live version of Chris Farley, but not for long.
Except that he is running the biggest city in Canada.
You guys elected him, not us. I love that.
Yeah.
We screw ups.
Oh, you guys will do something stupid in a week. Don't yeah. worry.
Oh, I have no doubt.
So anything else other than Sleeping with the Elephant?
I obviously am an internist with Mr. Scott Johnson.
Internist?
Well, really everything that he asked me to do, but mostly Final Score in the instance. So, check those out as well.
And you can also head over to slashloot.com where you can pick up some awesome t-shirts. Final Score and the instance all have shirts over on slashloot, as does Angry Chicken, actually, come to think of it. So head on over to slashloot.com and pick up one of our t-shirts. I don't think we have any codes right now. There was a code going on during BlizzCon, but I think that's over now.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
you know if that's still valid? I'm not sure.
Oh, no. It was only for
It was only BlizzCon. Okay. So, yeah. No special discount codes sort of this week, guys. Sorry. But anyways, head on over to Slash Loot. They've got so many awesome geeky t-shirts. A lot of podcast stuff. Lots of stuff that are just hilarious. So, head on over. See what they've got. Pick yourself up some loot. I think that pretty much does it for us. Ryan, do you want to plug anything before we go?
Well, I mean, watch the Gamers In stream. We're going to be going live with a lot of stuff, you know, now that I have the PS4, so I'll be hitting that share button from time to time, so keep an eye on that. But other than that, you know, send us
an email. Zombie Say My Podcast?
I guess.
I said you don't want to pimp Zombie for you.
Oh, I don't know. We never do that. So I was like, yeah, you know, Zombies Ate My Podcast. We actually had Joel on to talk about The Walking Dead episode 5. So that was really interesting.
Which was an amazing episode, by the way. First one in a long time that I've really, really enjoyed.
And that's the other thing. Yet. You know, spoiler alert, there's zombies. Yeah. But we had a really interesting conversation, and, you know, it's a show about zombies, but we're not hardcore fans. You know, we are hardcore fans, but we're very critical, so...
You are, and you know. That's one thing that I do actually really enjoy about... I mean, I don't listen to Zombies Ate My Podcast all the time, because I'm not a zombie fan, but I am a Walking Dead fan, so I do try to... And it's really nice to get a balanced view of the show, and not just... Oh my God, they're zombies. We love it. Woo!
Yeah, so, sometimes we can get into a little of that, bit of, you know, but other times, you know, we bring it back and, you know, yeah, it's fun.
So yeah, it's good stuff. So you guys should all go check out Zombies Ate My Podcast. And that pretty much does it for us tonight on The Gamers In. We are going to be going live on The Gamers In Twitch channel with some Borderlands 2 in probably about... Oh, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, give ourselves and our voices a little bit of a break. Plus, you know, beers. I need beers. Yeah, so you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous shows, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Amove Radio, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+, but I'm going to be honest, I never post there. So just go follow us.
Just follow us on Twitter.
If you want to email the show, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So before we close this off, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
We're going to do something awesome.
Wow.
We don't know what it is yet, though.
But it's going to be awesome.